This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're talking all about thyroid eye disease, or TED, the symptoms, who is at risk, why is it difficult to diagnose, and how it is different than Graves' disease. Joining me today is Dr. Gary Lilly, an oculoplastic surgeon specializing in ophthalmology at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. Dr. Lilly, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Dr. Lilly, really appreciate your time and looking forward to being well informed on TED, or thyroid eye disease. Now, can you explain to our listeners what exactly thyroid eye disease is?
Sure. So thyroid eye disease, also sometimes referred to as TED or TED, is a rare autoimmune condition most commonly associated with Graves' disease, Graves' hyperthyroidism, but a separate disease process. And basically what happens in about half of patients who have Graves' disease, they can develop inflammation around the eyes in the area called the orbit, the area around the eyes and behind the eyes. So the muscles behind the eyes swell, the fat behind the eyes swells, and it causes a bunch of signs and symptoms that are classic for thyroid eye disease, and can do anything from cause irritation and dryness and discomfort for patients, all the way to a spectrum of a very severe compression on the nerve behind the eye and potentially permanent vision loss in about 5% of patients. So they really can range across a spectrum, but it's important to kind of make the differentiation between thyroid eye disease and Graves' disease. They happen oftentimes together, but they are two separate disease processes.
That's certainly some good information and very helpful, and it's very important to know that there are two different diseases there as well. Who would you say is most at risk in being diagnosed with thyroid eye disease?
So, you know, anybody with a thyroid imbalance should at least see an ophthalmologist or an eye care specialist to make sure that they don't have signs and symptoms of thyroid eye disease. But your most common patient is going to be someone who has Graves' hyperthyroidism. As I mentioned, about half of those patients can develop thyroid eye disease. So that's your most common patient. You can still see thyroid eye disease in patients who have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which typically causes a low thyroid level, or even in patients with no thyroid imbalance, they can be essentially euthyroid or a level thyroid, can develop thyroid eye disease. So those are the common patients, really stressing the fact that those patients with Graves' disease should get checked. Your most common patients are going to be young women. So the peak age distribution is in about the 40s. There's a second age peak in the 60s. And women are affected about three times more commonly than men with thyroid eye disease. But men tend to have a more severe course of the disease. So important for anybody with thyroid imbalance, and especially Graves' disease, to have an eye care specialist really look at them for thyroid eye disease. And I'll just mention real quick, there's two types of specialists that tend to handle this condition. Those are oculoplastic surgeons like myself or neuro-ophthalmologists. So those are the two subspecialties within ophthalmology that really are the experts at thyroid eye disease.
Now, taking this even further, what are the main signs or symptoms to look out for in these regards?
Of course, yeah. So the most common thing patients would notice is something called eyelid retraction, which basically means the upper and lower eyelids kind of pull away from the colored part of the eye. And you start to see the white part of the eye more evident. The eyes look like they're bulging. So that is going to happen in 90% of patients with the disease. And they're going to notice this in photos, or a friend or a family member is going to just say, you know, your eyes look different. You know, what's going on? That sign right there is going to also predispose patients to dryness, because there's more air hitting the eye, and the eyes may not close all the way when patients sleep or blink. So the eyes are going to get red, irritated, inflamed, uncomfortable. Standard sort of symptoms of dry eye disease foreign body sensation. The eyes feel gritty. Lights bother the eyes. So that's your most common, eyelid retraction, dry eye. Second most common is what we call proptosis, which basically means the eyes bulge or push out of the eye sockets. And that's from swelling of those muscles and fat behind the eye. That happens in about 60% of patients. When you combine that eye bulging with the eyelid retraction, that gives you this sort of the telltale appearance of thyroid eye disease. It looks as though the eyes are kind of popping out a bit. And that'll also predispose to dryness and all the things, you know, I just mentioned. In about half of patients, they can develop double vision. And so when they have both of their eyes open, the eyes are not lining up and they're seeing two images. This can be really disabling for patients. It's tough for them to drive, to read, to you know, watch TV, to do their work. Many of them have to either patch an eye to be able to do tasks like that, or they just need someone to help get them around because of that. And that's occurring because the inflammation is happening in those muscles behind the eye. And when that occurs, the eyes can have trouble lining up. So that's about half of patients. And then as I mentioned at the beginning, in its worst form, its most severe form, you can basically get a compartment syndrome in the orbit where the muscles swell so much and there's nowhere for all this tissue to go, and they push on the optic nerve, the nerve that transmits vision back to the brain. And that can cause permanent vision loss. So decrease in color vision, decrease in visual acuity, and visual field defects. And that occurs in about 5% of patients. So those are the main things to be watching for. The other thing sometimes patients are going to notice is just inflammatory signs around their eyes. So swelling above and below the eyes, discomfort when they move the eyes, a dull ache that they kind of can't explain well, like just like they're aware of their eyes. So all of those things, in conjunction with a patient with a thyroid history, and those are the ones that need to get in to see the specialist.
Certainly do appreciate all the insight and information around thyroid eye disease today. We're speaking with Dr. Gary Lely, an oculoplastic surgeon specializing in ophthalmology at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City, here on eHealth Radio's iHealth and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, tell us also, what should people do if they notice changes in their eyes?
Yeah, I think the sooner they can get into an expert who knows how to diagnose and treat thyroid eye disease, the better. And as I mentioned, those are going to be either oculoplastic surgeons, which is a specialty within ophthalmology, or neuro-ophthalmologists, also a specialty, a subspecialty within ophthalmology. And you can find these doctors. There's a helpful website. It's TED Doctors, T-E-D, doctors.com. You can go in there. It has a lot of information about thyroid eye disease, much of what we've talked about today, but you can put in your zip code and you can find experts in your area who can help get you diagnosed and treated if needed. And the other thing I would mention is because this goes hand alongside of Graves' disease, there's usually a multidisciplinary approach to taking care of these patients. So they're going to need that expert for thyroid eye disease, but they're usually also going to need an endocrinologist, sometimes a primary care provider, but somebody who's managing their thyroid levels and the Graves' disease that's probably going along with the thyroid eye disease. So you want to have a team that understands both of these diseases. But that website's great. It's teddoctors.com, and they can find an expert if they're experiencing any symptoms. And the last thing I'd mention is, even if they're not experiencing symptoms, if they have Graves' disease, we'd recommend that they see a specialist at least once for a baseline, just to make sure that there's nothing subtle going on. And also, if something does change, we know where the patient started.
Dr. Lely, as we conclude today, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
I really appreciate being with you today. I think it's just great to get the word out about the thyroid eye disease, that it's this rare autoimmune inflammatory process that occurs around the eyes, most commonly associated with Graves' disease, but again, a separate disease process. And if you have Graves' disease or a thyroid imbalance, if you think you have signs or symptoms of thyroid eye disease, visit teddoctors.com and get an expert to evaluate and treat you if needed.
And certainly a great resource right there. Again, teddoctors.com. Dr. Lely, thanks so much for what you do and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate being here.
And always our pleasure. We have been speaking with Dr. Gary Lely, an oculoplastic surgeon specializing in ophthalmology at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. And to learn more, visit teddoctors.com. eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.